and also Romans chapter 12. I was counseling with someone this week, and I was relating a story to him about what he told me. He told me his dilemma and what he's up against, and it's someone who has a child with special needs, and it made me think of a guy I knew who was a power lifter, not just a guy who liked to lift weights. He was a true power lifter. He was in what they call a raw category, meaning he didn't have any drugs, any enhancers, did not use any Multiply shirts to help him lift weights or anything. He's just that strong. It was a category where they were tested. And that you could look at the man and tell, this guy is the strongest person in the building. His bench press, if you know what that was 575 pounds raw. That's a lot. A lot. And but he was telling me, because I was asking him what his routine was and what he did to strengthen certain muscles. So I wanted to like scale that to my workout and see if it would help me. I was not intending to get crushed by 575 pounds. But he told me what he did. But he said this, his warm-ups were 225 pounds, which is a lot of weight. That's a goal weight for some folks to be able to press that much weight. That was his warm-up weight. But he said, John, sometimes that warm-up set, he said, that 225 is just so heavy. It's stuck in my mind. I mean, it's like frozen there. I've never forgotten that when he said that. I don't even remember what the workout was. But I remember when he said that light workout weight was just so heavy. And that's what I conveyed to my friend. I said, look, we were in the same boat as you. We know the hospital life. We know the surgery life. You lift heavy every day. But sometimes that warm-up lift, it could just be anything. It could just be something very light, but it just seems so heavy. And I said, what's happening right now? Your mind is tired. You've got a tired mind. That's a tough place to work from, a tired mind. Has anybody in this room ever had a tired mind? Well, Psalm 23 deals with that. It deals with it just a couple of lines, and I'm not going to read the whole psalm, even though it's beautiful. It's got to be a favorite. The Lord is my shepherd, so we've got several translations that we use that. But we don't have one for the Amplified, so we're going to give you the New King James Version right here. So understand, I'm going to be using the Amplified. The Amplified is a lot more wordy, but I love that. I love that. It helps you study, but I want you to hear what the Amplified says. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. So get a picture of the great shepherd and you the sheep, and that's what he's constantly doing, feeding, guiding, shielding. I shall not lack. I love that. Because we know what we're used to the translation, I shall not want, and that seems kind of needy, but I love it says, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. I love that. I absolutely love that. You can read that too quick. He does it. He does this for his name's sake, because sometimes we attach the wrong. We put a motive on God, like a responsibility, like he does this cause he loves me. He has to do this cause he loves me. This honestly doesn't have anything to do with him having to do anything like we just talked about. There's some things that we think he does because we've earned it. No, 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 no. There are things that he does for his name's sake. That's a powerful concept right there. The character of God is different than any of us. His character, our character can ring the bell one day and miss it the next, can it? Sometimes, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we can miss it on the character. We're always striving to get our character to improve. But his character and his namesake, what he does for his namesake, just the benefit of what he does outside of him loving you for his namesake, to stay true to who he is, there are certain things that you get that are just amazing. But I wanted to, I said the tired mind, because we're getting to that time of year when it may be very good for you right now. This week of Thanksgiving is generally a great time. But I was just at a funeral where a pastor buried his wife. I promise you, Thanksgiving this year is not like any other Thanksgiving he's ever had, with an empty seat at the table, with teenagers surrounding the table. And dad's got to tell them God is good. He knew what he was doing when he took mom home. That kind of stuff is hard to hear. So while somebody's having their best day, someone else is having their worst day. If you ever want to see it in real time, go up to Charlotte. And it changed its name so many, I think it's CMC. Go there. I'm familiar with Levine. It's connected to it. Go just sit right there at the doorway. Watch CMC, watch people come in and out, and some are happy. They're having healthy babies. And then watch the ones who are going into Levine, and you'll see a different thing. You understand what I say? When somebody's having their best day and somebody's having their worst day. And we got to learn to negotiate life. And our minds can get tired. Our minds can get tired. But I love this, the line right here. He restores my soul. I interpret that as he makes my mind not tired anymore. Restores my soul. That's what he does. There are some things that only he can do. Try to restore your soul. Let me give you this along with that. Good luck with that one. You don't have the ability to restore your soul. You don't have it. You can try. You can spend money. You can go places. You can see sights. You can take a friend. You can take a companion. You can take a spouse, but you cannot restore your own soul. That's why a relationship with him is of utmost importance, because here's the thing, your soul is going to need to be restored somewhere along the way in this thing called life, right? He makes my mind not tired anymore. Do you know why folks that go into depression will find themselves sleeping more than they need to sleep? You know that. Depressed people will sleep. If you get into a pattern where you're requiring more sleep, something could be wrong with your body, or your mind could need to be restored. It's very possible. Because here's how you know. Here's the kicker. When you're going to sleep because you're tired and you just need to be rejuvenated, that's a good thing. But when you're going to sleep to escape what's going on in your mind, that's not a good thing. You need your soul restored. I need to be restored. That's the importance of having him. And this season doesn't stop. We're vastly coming to, quickly coming to the, rapidly coming to the end of 2024. Can you believe it? Just look at your neighbor and said, I can't either. I can't believe it either. I can't believe it. Yeah, 2025 is on us. Guess what comes in January? Okay, we're not really great at math. I'm just going one move. I wasn't trying to stretch you. I know y'all are tired. 2025, but here's what comes in 2025. Your credit card bill from December of 2024. So if you're not depressed now, you'll be depressed. I prophesy that one over you. It's coming. Do you know that January is the month where more suicides take place? There are little things that go along with that. Highs and lows. Sometimes a real high followed by a real low is all it takes. And that's the month where the test proves itself for some folks. To have a tired mind is not a good thing. You don't need to live with a tired mind very long. And that's another reason why you need this relationship with the Lord. He restores my soul. In other words, He does what I can't do. No amount of money can do what I need done. But a relationship with Him can do that. Romans 12. Here's what you can do. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. I appeal to you, therefore. So I'm not going to go all the way back to Romans 11 because that, like I was in that arena last week. That's a big one right there. But all of that to say this, I appeal to you, therefore. That means these chapters that we just went through, I'm appealing to you, brethren, and beg of you. So we're in the Amplified, so it's going to be more wordy. So you follow along here, but let your mind pick up on these other words. I appeal to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service, and spiritual worship. One more verse. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude. This means after you've taken on Christ, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. That is very wordy versus the translation that we had up here. But it's what it tells me is there's something I can do. I can renew my mind. I can renew my mind. We've taught some things before, like to help you. Like it's easy for me to stand up here and tell you that you can renew your mind, but it would be better for me to tell you also with that information how to renew your mind. And that's go back to what's true. Because your mind will project things. It will. Your mind will take you to a path that leads to a road, that leads to a highway, that leads to a dirt road, that leads to a wall that you hit going 120 miles an hour. And it'll play that stuff out like that's what's going to happen. Impending doom. I'm going to crash. And then usually what really actually happens is nothing like what you thought it was going to be. You remember what through Elijah was the words of the evil woman when she said, tomorrow by this time, you're going to be dead. And the Bible followed that by saying, and when he saw what she said, think about that. When he saw what she said, she sent a message to him of impending doom. He processed that as having already happened and nothing he could do about it. He saw what she said. In other words, her words painted, even though it was a lie, it painted a picture that he grasped onto and processed, when the truth was, he wasn't going to die, she was. That's the lie of the enemy. He had a choice to renew his mind. He didn't take it, but he did go to the Lord. And in that process, the Lord gave him everything he needed to be restored and to bring his mind back to where it needed to be. And the answer was, what was true about all that? What's true about your situation that you're going through? What is a trail that leads to impending doom for you? But what's the truth of that? Is that really where this thing is going? Or is that just where the enemy has lied to you and you're believing his lie? When he restores my soul, he makes my mind not tired anymore. So let's just break it down. That's something that only he can do. So take something that only he can do and mesh that together with something he's instructed you to do. Renew your mind. Renew your mind with the truth. Go back to what you know is true. And that's not what a relative said. That's not what a friend said. That's not what an enemy said. That's what God said. When you're looking for truth, you don't need to search for it anywhere else except go right here. What does Scripture say over me? And that is what I renew my mind with. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That's actually what you're supposed to be doing. And it tells you how. So if you're supposed to be doing the good, perfect, acceptable will of God, how do you do it? By renewing your mind. So you play a part. You play a role. He doesn't say, think on these things and I'll renew your mind. No, he'll restore your soul. You renew your mind. That's something that you can do. Stop asking him to do what he's instructed you to do. You do what he's instructed you to do, and he always does what he does. That's the goodness of God. If y'all said amen about three more times, I'd close my Bible and let y'all go home. All right, all right, all right. Y'all are so tired. I tried to tell you, I won't hold you long. Y'all gonna be running aisles, waving hankies, and all kinds of stuff here in a minute. Yeah. You're in the after effects, and it's a real thing. But that's why we need him. And you can actually sow into your destiny. You can actually take part. Your destiny, there's things that think just fate. It would be so sad if it were just left up to fate. You can actually take part in your destiny. Let that sink in for a second. You got a destiny. You've got an ending place. So why not sow into that ending? Why not take part in it? Because, newsflash, you're already taking part in it. Whatever you're sowing, it's going to sprout. It's going to come up. And what comes out of that seed will be the seed from which was planted. It won't be anything different. It'll be that. So sow right. Christine, will you come? A little bit more work for you. I'm letting everybody else off, but I'm serious. This is a short message. I knew I wouldn't have y'all's attention long this morning, but this is powerful if you'll get it. Everything getting for God to do, some of it's on you.